Hello everybody, my name is Vaughn, and this is Vaughn's Gadget Talk for Wednesday, 10th of August, 2022. And you know what time it is, it's unpack time. Today's episode is all about, well, to an extent, about Samsung's unpacked event and obviously their new devices that have just come out, the Z Flip 4, the Z Fold 4, the Galaxy Watch 5 and 5 Pro, and the Galaxy Buds 2 Pro. Obviously new goodies from Samsung, and also potentially a new BTS song. I mean, well, it's they're gonna premiere it like later today, as I understand it. So that's pretty cool. I haven't had a chance to obviously try these devices in person, so I can't tell you my overall impressions. But we're gonna talk about these new devices, and we're definitely gonna geek out over the little details. And basically, if there's one word to describe these new devices, it's basically a refinement over a leap bound as it was with last year's foldables. But yeah, we're going to definitely talk about this along with other key news, including Google obviously bringing a ramped version of Android TV, and Oppo and OnePlus phones are banned in Germany. You can't buy new OnePlus or Oppo phones in Germany because of a IP dispute with Nokia, which is pretty crazy. We're going to get into that also later in the show. But yeah, without further ado, let's just get unpacking, shall we? Alright, so if there's one thing to describe these new folding phones, the Z Flip 4 and the Z Fold 4, they're not really, they're not like giant leaps like the previous generation. They're more like incremental refinements. They're basically, they're polishing really the edges of these phones, and they're not really so many game-changing or groundbreaking new features or functionalities, but basically these phones are essentially more or less are nearly similar to the previous generation, but as I said, there are improvements in a lot of places. Again, slight tweaks there and there, improvements really, obviously with an incremental upgrade. Let's just say it's kind of like how it was when the S3 and the S4 came out the following year, and then the S4 really was just like a more polished S3 with a nicer display and obviously a nicer design and all. And that's kind of what these two folding phones are in a way. So first we're going to touch on the Z Flip 4. And basically, it really is a refinement compared to the Z Flip 3. To start with, you got a more compact design. It's hard to describe it through my voice, kind of. It's more compact, kind of, in a way, slightly compact. You got a smaller hinge. You got a matte glass back, Gorilla Glass Victus Plus on both sides, inside and out, along with a aluminium armor frame, which is pretty nice to have. I mean, it's solid and you can definitely feel it in your hand. And it's also got a matte finish, so it's no fingerprints on it in a way. But on top of that, you essentially have you got a whole lot of upgrades on the inside. First of all, you got the Snapdragon 8 Plus Gen 1 chip, along with an improved cameras on the back, including a bigger 12 megapixel main camera and obviously improved 12 megapixel ultra wide. As I said, there are no flagship cameras, but again, they'll do the job for most people out there, so that's something to keep in mind. If we talk about the cameras at the back, you have a 12 megapixel f2.2 1.12 micrometer ultra wide with 123 degree field of view, and a 12 megapixel wide angle regular, pretty much dual pixel autofocus OIS, which is nice to have on a folding flip phone, f1.8 micrometer camera, which is, again, as I said, nice to have. And you could say the display is more or less like last year in a way. It's only a touch bit bigger because they've sort of shrinked the hinge around the bezel, you could say, around the edges. So it looks a touch bit bigger. You won't be able to really tell unless you look at side by side with the Z Flip 3 in a way. But yeah. You still have a 6.7 inch FHD Plus AMOLED display, 120Hz, and then you got a 1.9 inch AMOLED display on the outside, again, like the Z Flip 3, and you got a 10 megapixel selfie camera on the inside, so that's pretty cool to say the least. You got a slightly bigger battery compared to last year, a 3700 mAh battery. And again, when you combine it with the Snapdragon 8 Plus Gen 1, the Snapdragon chip, it'll definitely give you more optimization, obviously better battery experience, generally speaking. So that's something good, that's something interesting in a way. But really, the upgrade's kind of outside of the improved design and of durability, and obviously the IPX. Is it IPX? IP4X? I think it was IP8X. No, IP. Yeah, IPX8 water resistance. So that's pretty nice to have. But also, there are some improvements on the software side. So first of all, now you have a new improved FlexCam mode, and that lets you take a hands-free video or selfies at different angles, like previously. But obviously improved. There's also, like, you can hold your phone like a camcorder and record videos, and that's pretty sweet. And I think that shows the real selling point of a Z Flip 4 compared to, say, a Fold 4 or competing folding phones. Is it's built for casual users who want to sort of capture moments and obviously share stuff to others. And as I said, it's built for casual users more, and also it's just a nice little phone to have in a way, so that's pretty cool. So flex cam mode's pretty cool. On top of the quick shot, an upgraded quick shot apparently, so you can record videos, you can take photos, and also you could switch to flex mode, so you can record hands-free without stopping the video. So that's pretty cool. And now you can do portrait shots with quick shots, so that's pretty cool in a way. But more than everything, they obviously, Samsung touched on the Unpacked event, its strength really, that is partnerships and collaborations with major technology companies and brands. And this time, obviously continuing on their partnership with Meta, which used to be Facebook, to offer an enhanced camera for Instagram and WhatsApp and Facebook and Facebook Messenger. Now you can use that FlexCam functionality straight in those apps. No pixelated, grainy mess. Now, if you use an Android phone, and you'll know this better than me, and everyone knows this, if you use the main camera app, you get the full quality, and then when you switch to WhatsApp or Instagram, you get a cloudier, grainier picture. But that's not going to be the case on this, the Z Flip 4, and same for the Z Fold 4. You won't get this on that. Also, again, it's leveraging what Samsung's been doing on the S22, for example, offering an improved camera experience on third-party apps. And it's good to see that FlexCam will work on third-party apps without any issues. It'll bring the full camera quality over to those other competing apps. So that's pretty good to see in a way. And again, you have that 3700 mAh battery. It comes in four wonderful colors. It comes in basically black, light blue, Bora purple, but it's purple, they call it Bora. Which is nice, and a kind of a faint rose gold color. One thing I would say compared to last year's Z Flip is it has a matte back, so that's something to definitely take into consideration, I guess. So that's pretty cool. And you're talking about fast charging. It offers, let's just see, 25-watt or higher fast charging, so you can get up to 50% charge in 30 minutes. And yeah, in terms of memory, you have 8 GB of RAM exclusively, but you can get anywhere between 128 and 512 GB of storage. So that's pretty cool nonetheless. And yes, you have IPX8 water and dust resistance. It comes with One UI 4.1, which obviously comes with all these nice features like Flex Cam and much, much more. And obviously Android 12 is available out of the gate. And as I said, this Z Flip 4 has a smaller hinge technically, so that should help in a way. And in an improved ultra thin glass, which again will come in handy. Again, if you've had last year's Z Flip 3 and you use the Z Flip 4, you might notice a little bit of a difference in a way. So that's something good to keep in mind, something good really to think about. 5G is available on here, Bluetooth 5.2 is supported, and yeah, it's a pretty interesting phone. And here's the crazy bit. This folding phone will start from $999, $1,000, just like last year. And I think that's pretty cool, because obviously we've had the supply chain crisis, and obviously some phones have started to cost a bit more than usual. So that's pretty cool to see. And again, it's kind of awesome to see that Samsung is still keeping the same prices. Also the same for the Z Fold 4, which you're going to move on to now. The Z Fold 4 is kind of that nice phablet that we all come to know. And again, like the Flip, it's not really a massive day or night improvement. It's just a refinement. But this one's more noticeable compared to the Flip. And that's what I would argue for. It's more noticeable, if that's what I'm trying to describe here. So they touched on this premises for the pro users in a way. So if I could find it, that is. So first of all, you have an improved... you essentially have an improved hinge that doesn't have gears going between. It's designed so you can essentially fold it outwards and obviously keep it at an angle, obviously like a laptop, and obviously at different angles. So that's pretty cool. So you have an improved hinge, which is slimmer. It's lighter weight because, for example, the display on the inner folding display they've taken out the metal shield at the back, but as I said, they've strengthened the inner LCD, which is very nice to see. And I've also added padding so that it absorbs shocks or obviously bumps and jolts, and obviously the phone folding in and out. So that's pretty interesting in a way. And again, it comes with IPX8 water resistance like the Z Flip 4. Obviously, it's not designed for dust resistance, so that's definitely something to keep in mind. And like the Flip 4, it comes with aluminium frames and Gorilla Glass Victus Plus. So I've kind of gone through everything that needs to be said about these folding phones. It's pretty cool in a way. But yeah, the Fold 4 also, like the Flip 4, features a Snapdragon 8 Plus Gen 1. Like last year's foldables, coming with a Snapdragon chip instead of a Exynos variant, which is interesting. But obviously, because Samsung has teamed up with Qualcomm to offer the latest Snapdragon chips on all Samsung phones going forward in a way. So this is one strength of Samsung, that they are able to have world-class partnerships to bring cool features and obviously offer good technology, really, because that's the strength of Samsung, really, with open software and hardware. And again, standard off-the-shelf software and hardware, Samsung devices really shine on their own, sort of. So that's pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, if you look past the hardware, and obviously it's more or less the same 7.6-inch main display like last year. It's, again, a little bit big, touch bit bigger, because obviously they've shrinked the bezels around the inner and outer display, so it's a little bit bigger. You can't tell unless you look side by side with the previous generation Z Fold 3. So yeah, along with that, the display inner display features a scatter type subpixel arrangement, so the inner display camera won't be that visible compared to the Z Fold 3. It's kind of noticeable in some circumstances, but yeah, I mean, it's you could tell almost, so that's pretty cool in a way. So yeah, we've touched on the hardware features. We're going to move on to software of the Z Fold 4 and not the Fold 3. And interestingly, it's the first Android, foldable, let's say, that comes with Android 12L, designed by Google for foldables, which is nice to have. Another, and this is going to be the big one if you've used the Z Fold 3, and I think this is a big software upgrade in a way, and that's a brand new taskbar at the bottom of the inner foldable display. When you fold the Z Fold 4 out, you have a new taskbar that essentially gives you access to popular apps, and again, your recent apps and app pairs. It's, again, an improvement on previous iterations of the same feature, a floating sort of pop-up where you can see all your apps open recently, and obviously you can access all your apps from there. But now it's a proper section of the interface as the taskbar, so that's pretty cool. And also, now it's easy to sort of start multitasking, can pop up multiple apps at once. So that's pretty cool in a way. And obviously, if you get a Z Pen. Why the Z Pen? Anyways, if you get the S Pen separately, which you can buy separately, obviously, on top of it, you're able to obviously make the most of the Z Fold 4, which I think is, again, a workaholic's machine nonetheless. So that's pretty cool. And now, thanks to their partnerships with Google and Microsoft, things like drag and drop, so drag and drop will work comfortably, and obviously there'll be support for their apps, which is nice to have. Again, it's not really a big upgrade, but again, it's nice to have in a way, and it's nice to see that it has Android 12L in a way, so that's pretty cool. And also the taskbar, again, will essentially give you a PC style experience, basically. It's a phablet, so tablets are kind of like compact laptops, let's just say. It's very hard to describe it, but it's like a compact laptop. But then again, pretty cool regardless. But if we touch upon the camera, for example, of the Z Fold 4, you have a 10 megapixel selfie camera on the front, on the inner display that is under the display itself, so that's pretty cool in a way. That's on the outside, sorry. And you have a 4 megapixel inner display camera on the inside on the inner display. So that's pretty interesting. The 10 megapixel selfie camera is on the outside on the outer display. The 4 megapixel, it's not, as I said, high resolution, but again, they say it's improved, but we'll have to see for ourselves. On the outside, you have three 12 megapixel, you have three cameras pretty much, a 12 megapixel ultra wide angle camera, f2.2, kind of similar to the Z Fold Flip 4's ultra wide angle camera. And you have a 50 megapixel wide angle main sensor with OIS and dual pixel autofocus and f1.0 aperture, 10 megapixel telephoto with 3x optical zoom, naturally 30x digital zoom, so that's pretty cool in a way. The Z Fold 4, on the other hand, comes with only 12 gigabytes of RAM and up to 1 terabyte of storage, up from, say, 256 gigabytes of storage, so that's pretty cool. And again, like I mentioned earlier, IPX8 water resistance. And again, Bluetooth 5.2 and 5G because it has the 8 Plus Gen 1. It's cool to see that they have an 8 Plus Gen 1, and will probably make it a great value for money in a way. Gonna add this here, additionally, the Z Fold 4 has a 4,400 mAh battery and 25 watt fast charging out of the gate. And also, you get 2 physical SIM card slots, depending on the market, of course. In some markets, you may be able to get only 1 SIM card, but obviously that depends on... But there's no mention of micro SD card support, so that's something to keep in mind if you are looking to get one of these phones with intention of expanding the storage later on. You might as well get one with the storage you will possibly need as is, so that's something to keep in mind. And speaking of price already, the Z Fold 4... we'll start at $1,799, so that's roughly, again, $1,800 combined for the Z Fold 4. And again, just like, the price is just like last year, and I think that's pretty good in a way, and I'm not complaining, frankly, because, again, it's just, it's a good option in a way. So what we basically have with these phones is they are refinements, basically. They feature improved hinges. They definitely feature improved processors, cameras, and also all sorts of interesting software features, including flex mode and a new flex mode touchpad in a way. And again, improved software features, and it's more optimized compared to previous foldables. And as I said, it has the 8 Plus Gen 1, so I honestly think it would be a great value for anyone looking to get these phones. And obviously, there's no better time to buy a foldable than pretty much now. It's starting to sort of crack out of its early adopter shell, and it's about to hit the mainstream. And that's thing that's pretty interesting in a way. As I said, so you have the improved durability, you have the improved hinges, you have the improved processor, and you got the... and as I said, you got the improved software functionality. I mean, what more do we want to ask in a way? So again, pretty solid refinements, let's just say that. Right, and interestingly enough, we're talking about phones and obviously materials and improvements and durability. The environment is obviously of significant importance, and apparently, and these new foldables incorporate plastic-bound plastics into key components, 100% recycled paper for packaging, and apparently for the foldables, it features 58% reduced volume. So basically, they just ship the phone, the charging cable from the looks of it, but and putting, obviously, just like the S22, probably putting recycled fishnet plastic into these folding phones. So that's pretty cool in a way. So the Flip 4 will cost $999 starting, and then the Fold 4 will start from $1,799. So again, over $1,800 for the Fold in a way, and they're available for pre-orders from today, from August 10th. And you'll be able to get them in stores on August 26th in some places. If you pre-ordered either of the phones, you should be able to get 1 year of Samsung Care Plus, which apparently will deliver protection against cracked screens and drops. in 51 countries were available. So do check with the Samsung reseller, or obviously officially Samsung in your kind of jurisdiction or market where you live, kind of a nearby Samsung store or the online store, for more information about the Care Plus, or you know what the policy is for replacing the cracked screens. It'll come in handy, because folding phones are quite fragile naturally, so something to keep in mind in a way. And that obviously now leads to where would, for all these big phones, should you buy these? Like, which of the Z foldable should you get? Which of the Galaxy Z foldable phones should you be getting? Which one should you get? Which one is worth, I mean, which foldable should you be getting? The Galaxy Z Fold or Z Flip 4? Now, this is going to be tough, and I think it really, I mean, these phones are improving. They're really polishing up the couple of flaws that exist in these phones. But I would clearly say these two folding phones have different form factors and potentially different audiences in mind. The Flip is designed for casual, sort of social media savvy users who always share and consume and create content. And again, want a flip phone that is easy to use, it's fun, and but also they don't want to use their phone way too much to be burned out from it. So the full Flip is great for those users. And the price is really competitive, like for $1,000, where can you get a 8 Plus Gen 1, especially from Samsung, along with a decent battery life, and obviously a cool feature, which is the screen full flips up. So again, it's quite stylish, like the previous Z Flip 3. So it's clearly designed for those who are into their social media and obviously use their phone quite a lot and want, again, a kind of natural phone experience, a flip phone. And you're into that kind of, and you're a millennial or Gen Z, and you're into that nostalgia of a flip phone. Yeah, I would kind of recommend the Z Flip 4. If you're not into the nostalgia or anything, generally for a high-end phone, it's pretty good. And good for $1,000, kind of, for those kind of users. I mean, it's good value, really. I mean, you can't beat having a folding flip phone, you know? Like, you get some cool bragging rights. And again, a bit of nostalgia from it, in a way. And on the flip side is the, get it? On the flip side, the Galaxy Z Fold 4 is really the prosumer phone. It's for the power users, workaholics. If you are just a typical phone user, you go through your WhatsApp and YouTube and TikTok, it's not for you. It's not really worth the $1,800 asking price, or more than that in some places. It's not worth any or all of your money unless you use your phone like crazy. I'd probably see myself as someone who used the Z Fold 4 out of the gate. It's nice, again, for productivity. But then also, if you're of the productivity kind, you want to use your phone to work and email and multitask, you already might as well be getting the Z Fold 3, because it'll be going on a pretty good discount. And obviously, it's got older processors and specs, but it should do the job. It'll come in nice and dandy, fine and dandy, pretty much, for work, for productivity. But then again, if you really need a very nice phone with top-notch cameras, with basically some features of S22 in a way, and again, premium performance and productivity, and you're an absolute workaholic and you want a proper beast, you get the Z Fold 4. And if you really could be able to appreciate all the functionality and the multitasking and all the experiences you can get with the Fold 4. But if you're the kind, and also if you have a lot of money and you want to flex that you have a really cool phone, you might as well get the Z Fold 4. But if you're not of that audience, if you're not of that, you know, consumer base, you can just avoid it, really. You can get an S22 Ultra, and you can be absolutely happy, and you get a very nice experience, generally speaking. But as I say, if you have a specific need or use, I mean, these folding phones are great. And again, it would be worth the cost of owning them and using them, and obviously the screen, sort of with the wear and tear, it would probably be worth it. But again, if you're just a regular phone user, might as well want to look elsewhere. But again, if you like your social media, you like your nostalgia, you're a bit of a millennial, you know, you are quite nostalgic about flip phones, you love using Instagram or TikTok, you might as well get the Z Flip 4 on the other hand. And then again, if you're looking to have a beast, the Z Fold 4 makes sense in a way. So that's something to keep in mind. And again, next week's episode, I mean, I'll probably will share my hands-on sort of impressions, because I mean, I'll go somewhere and obviously have the phone with me, and obviously have a hands-on, really. So that's pretty interesting in a way. It's great to see that this segment is unfolding in a big way, let's just say that. All right, we're already talking about new devices come out at Unpacked. Let's talk about another one other than the phones themselves. Accessories, really, because that's obviously what makes the Galaxy ecosystem tick. So we have the Galaxy Buds 2 Pro, which is obviously the newest earbuds from Samsung. Interestingly, they have a whole bunch of cool new features. It's got a similar design to the Galaxy Buds Pro that we talked about back in 2020, obviously back when we started the podcast. So that's crazy how fast time has flown. Anyways, so first up, first of all, you have 10 millimeter drivers. You've got Bluetooth 5.3 connectivity, IPX7 water and water resistance, 8 hour battery life on a single charge, and 29 hours with the charging case included. And obviously that's with no noise canceling, but if you switch on the noise canceling, you get up to 5 hours of playtime and 18 hours with the battery with a charging case included. So that's pretty cool in a way. And apparently it's 15% smaller than the previous Buds Pro. More than everything, it offers hi-fi sound thanks to a special proprietary audio codec that Samsung developed that can give you basically 24-bit hi-fi audio along at the same time with 44 kilohertz audio. So it's hi-fi quality. And also you have 3D audio, spatial audio support, 360 audio with direct multi-channel sound. So again, you'll literally be able to hear stuff around you. In fact, weirdly enough, they used an example of a F1 car driving around a corner, around a chicane, and you know that drives very fast. I'm sure they're not trying to intend that it's an F1 car, but they're trying to show that the 360 sound, the 360 the spatial audio capability. So that's pretty interesting, in a way. And you have advanced intelligent active noise cancellation. Basically, it's active noise cancellation with AI and all sorts of nice goodies added to make it nice and rivaling active noise cancelling premium earbuds. So that's pretty cool. And it comes in three different colors. Zenith Grey. So I'd probably assume that's some funky color that I've... Okay, it's white pretty much. So like granite. Black pretty much. Zenith White and Bora Purple. Basically black, white, and purple. And again, it comes with 360 degree audio, 5.1 channel or 7.1 point channel virtual surround sound. So that's pretty cool. And obviously, according to the articles here, you will need One UI 4.0, so a very recent version of Android, and a very new Galaxy to get 24-bit hi-fi audio and 360 audio. So hard to describe it without saying that, struggling really. 360 audio pretty much, so that's pretty cool in a way. And HD voice, so you will get crystal clear recordings from your earbuds if you do that pretty much. So that's pretty cool in a way. And these earbuds cost about $229 US. That's the MSRP, so that's pretty cool in a way. And again, there's nothing quite like it, you know, that's the point, really. And there's another cool bit about the Buds 2 Pro. On top of being able to find it from the app, companion app, if you lose it, there's auto switch. So if you have this year's Samsung Smart TV or newer, sort of the 2022 or newer Samsung Smart TV, you could automatically switch. You could connect to your Smart TV and basically get a private listening mode with the earbuds. So that's pretty cool in a way. And it's $229 really. So it's a nice accessory to go with the S22 and the Z foldables, the Flip 4 and the Fold 4 and the S22 in general. So pretty good if you ask me. And if you're already talking about folding, if you're already talking about accessories to go with your new foldables, we got the Galaxy Watch 5 and Watch 5 Pro. So this is pretty interesting in a way. You have a whole bunch of cool features to start with. You got the Galaxy Watch 5 comes with interesting health tracking. You got a bioactive sensor that comes with optical heart rate, electrical heart signal, and a bioelectrical impedance analysis. So it uses three different sensors pretty much to get an extensive reading of your health, of your heart health in a way. And on top of that, you get blood pressure monitoring and ECG monitoring, and that's certified in over 63 markets compared to, say, Apple, that's only available in, say, in the US and certain markets. So that's pretty good to see what Samsung's doing here with people's health. Interestingly enough, you get essentially a comprehensive fitness tracking, and obviously you got body composition measurement tool, so you get a full snapshot. This is kind of similar to what Apple offers on Apple Watches. You got SmartThings integration. Obviously, it has Wear OS by Google, giving you access to lots of third-party apps and functionality. In terms of features, you got sleep coaching and sleep scores, which you can see what I'm talking about, enhanced sleep tracking. So that's pretty cool. You get 13% larger battery, and generally you would get 30% faster fast charging, so you be able to get 8 hours of sleep tracking with 8 minutes of charging. So that's pretty cool in a way. And if we're talking about the design, pretty much this has a sapphire crystal display, which offers a 60% harder outer layer, so it's quite durable and again resistant to scratches and cracks. So that's pretty cool in a way. And if we already kind of already are talking about specs, kind of, it has an armor aluminium framing like the Z Fold 4 and Flip 4 with a sapphire crystal display. It comes in 44 and 40 millimeter sizes and has a Super AMOLED display, a Exynos W920 dual core chip, so kind of similar to the previous Galaxy Watch in a way, who knows. 16 gigs of storage, 1.5 gigabytes of RAM, not really necessary, but again, cool. 410 or 284 milliamp hour battery, depending on the size of the watch. So the bigger one would be for the 44 millimeter and the latter, so on and so forth. On top of that, you have a flatter base, so you can obviously charge with a puck. So that's very nice, but also gives you more accurate reading. So you have that bioactive sensor, temperature sensor, accelerometer, barometer, and gyro sensor, geomagnetic sensor, and light sensor. And also there is like a light sensor, so apparently it will give you weight measurement, real-time weight measurement in the Watch 5. I don't think it's in the Pro also, but it's all both on the Pro and the main Galaxy Watch 5. So that's pretty cool in a way, and it's a nice feature to have, let's just say that, interestingly. So there's the Galaxy Watch 5. It's a pretty cool watch in a way. It starts from 200, it doesn't say the price here, so I'll have to pull that up, but oh well. Oh, we have the price here. So the Galaxy Watch 5 costs $279 for the Bluetooth version and $329 for the LTE, and obviously the Pro is pricey. We're gonna let's just talk about the Pro pretty much here and here out. Let's just say this is built for adventure lovers and for those who are fitness geeks, and I think they're looking at the fact that Apple could be launching a Apple Watch Pro, so they made kind of a similar sort of smartwatch that targets that audience in a way. To start with, you have a sapphire crystal casing, you have sapphire crystal display, glass, let's just say that, with a durable titanium casing that protects it from bumps and cracks and whatever nature brings on. Interestingly, with a protruded bezel design, so hard to pronounce it, but protruded bezel design, so you know, so it's kind of synced in, so that's pretty interesting. And you got a debuckle sports band, so it's basically a buckle, so it's sort of you can open it up to take it out and obviously put it on, so that's pretty cool in a way. It's 60% larger than Watch 4 already. It's got GPX capability, so you can create a route and obviously then share it through to Samsung Health to your friends, and obviously you can go and they can go on similar hiking and cycling paths. So that's pretty cool in a way. And you get turn by turn directions, obviously thanks to Wear OS built right in. So that's pretty cool in a way. And a trackback feature. So if you ever get lost, you can click one go and obviously you can find your way back. So that's pretty cool in a way. Basically, it's a tougher Galaxy Watch 5. So that's, I think that's a nice thing to have. But generally speaking, you have the same sensor, same sensors and same tracking as the Galaxy Watch 5. It's basically a nicer casing and it's tougher. It's built for the outdoors. And you got a 590 milliamp hour battery. So that's pretty cool to say the least. So yeah, basically the Pro is just basically a tougher, a more rugged version of the Galaxy Watch 5. And then the Galaxy Watch 5 is obviously much nicer. One thing I will kind of mention is that there's no, the infamous watch dial, the dial that would rotate and go round, sort of, and you spin it, and obviously it's a the dial circuit, that's gone on the Galaxy Watch 5. So that's something to keep in mind if you're looking to upgrade, and obviously you still have your Galaxy Watch from before. So again, something to look at, something to think about in a way. But regardless, it's a pretty cool smartwatch to say the least. And the same would be said for the Galaxy Buds 2 Pro. But that one, the other one, as I said, the Galaxy Buds 2 Pro, as I would call it, it's a nice accessory to have with these phones. But yeah, pretty cool accessories from Samsung, really, and generally cool foldable phones from Samsung, in a way. So oh, and I would want to add one thing here, and that is that the what if you are looking to get the Z Fold 4, the 1 TB spec, that's only available on Samsung's website. So if you're looking to buy that and you really want to do it, you can do that. Obviously, it's only available through Samsung's website, so do keep that in mind. But generally speaking, pretty great devices, I mean, to say the least. I mean, again, great stuff nonetheless. Right, so we've already talked about the folding phones from Samsung. Let's move on to folding phones from other brands, because Samsung obviously is the most iconic brand right now in folding phones in a way, and it's one that we all kind of recognize and know. Even though obviously, if you are an Android fanboy, you will know that there are lots of folding phones that have come out in the past year from so many different brands, including Oppo and Huawei. But the thing is, obviously, they're only available in China. But we got another new folding phone that's coming out, but obviously. We don't know if it's going to be released worldwide, but it's pretty much China only at this point of time. And that's the Xiaomi Mix Fold 2. Tomorrow, August 11th, they're doing a launch event for the phone at 2 p.m. GMT plus 3 time. That's where I live, so just between time. It would be 7 p.m. China time, and they're going to show off the Mi Mix. You could say they're going to show off the Mix Fold 2, which is their sequel to their folding phone that they released last year. I don't even know when they released it. I think it was last year. Yeah, probably. And that's interesting. And apparently, it'll come with a camera that obviously is made by Leica. Obviously, features lenses from Leica. So that's pretty interesting in a way. On top of that, it's gonna be Xiaomi's answer to the Z Fold 3 or the Z Fold 4, most likely, given it's got a bookcase design, as we'd say it. It's confusing to describe. Folding phone designs, but there are two popular ones. There's the flip phone design, there's the bookcase design, and this one's the bookcase design. It folds out like a book, which is pretty interesting. What expect in the Xiaomi Mix Fold 2? You know, it's so hard to say. It's hard to say Xiaomi without mentioning me, but oh well. What expect in the Xiaomi Mix Fold 2? The latest Qualcomm chips, the Snapdragon 8 Plus. Gen 1 or the 8 Gen 1, most likely, given it's a folding phone, so I don't think performance would matter. You need to be efficient, of course, with battery life, so probably in Snapdragon 8 Gen 1. 8 Plus Gen 1 would be nice to have in a way, on top of a 120 Hz display. Interestingly enough, they've also posted a teaser on on social media in China, obviously hinting at the launch event tomorrow. And it mentioned how the phone, when unfolded, is 5.4 mm thick, and obviously when you fold it up, it's 11.4 mm. So apparently, I mean, Xiaomi CEO Liu Jun was so bothered by the bulk of current foldable phones. You can say that Samsung and Oppo and Vivo's foldables, that they're quite out that this new Xiaomi folding phone. The Mix Fold 2. One thing they were out to do was essentially make it compact and make it, let's say, not so thick. So that's pretty interesting in a way. By comparison, speaking of which, the original, the first gen Mi Mix Fold, you could say, measured 7.6 mm unfolded and 17.2 mm folded combined. So that's a decent jump, let's just say that, of two sh shedding 2 mm probably. So that's pretty interesting. Big thanks to GSM Arena for this scoop. It's pretty interesting in a way. And then we've already talked about folding phones. We're going to mention also the Motorola Razr. Now, last week they were supposed to obviously show off the Razr, the new Razr for this year, but that didn't really happen due to circumstances beyond their control. And obviously, it didn't make sense, you know, some threat in the background, and then you released a folding phone. That would not be fun. That would be funny, but obviously not so funny. But now, obviously, Motorola is going ahead with launching, showing off the 2022 Razr and the X30 Pro. They're doing an event also tomorrow at 2 p.m. China time. That would be roughly, if you do in terms of time zone, that's basically, that would be about 9 a.m. Bahrain time, so pretty early in the morning. Yeah, 9 a.m. probably tomorrow. Also, quite early, earlier before Xiaomi drops its Mix Fold 2, and we already know a lot about the Razr 2022. It's gonna have the 8 Gen 1. I don't think it's gonna have the 8 Plus Gen 1. I remember they mentioned that their phone will come with the 8 Gen 1 originally. We've talked about it earlier on the show, so if you wanted to hear more about the 2022 Razr, I've got an episode early in the year. Do look it up if you're already listening from a particular podcast app. So that's something worth mentioning. And again, as I said, let's see what Motorola and Xiaomi have. Motorola is basically Lenovo in a way, but Lenovo and Xiaomi, let's see what they have on offer tomorrow eventually. Yeah, it's pretty interesting stuff nonetheless. Alrighty, we got the other stuff to talk about. Let's talk about Android TV. Android TV obviously has become very popular in the past couple of years. We've seen a barrage of smart TVs and streaming sticks that run Google's operating system, essentially the living room version of Android. And now Google is looking to add more functionality on top of the fact that Android TV is one thing. There's Google TV, which is the sort of curated. It's kind of the answer to the Apple TV app, and it has a mix of ability. It basically offers movie rentals and obviously curates content from all the big streaming services, which is pretty cool in a way, and obviously that comes as an app on your Android phones already. But now Google's looking to do more, much more with Android TV and Google TV in general, and they obviously announced it to their partners at a closed door event last month. And again, they mentioned their Better Together plans to create sort of an ecosystem of again, based on Android. Third-party gear, but it all run Android and all integrate Google services and your Google account. And again, if it's all tied to Google account, it'll then work on other devices. And already, obviously, Wear OS for Google has been a thing. And again, Android TV has been around. It's been very popular in a way. But again, they're now looking to add more functionality. Firstly, they're now... they'll give you the ability next year to integrate your Fitbit or Wear OS device to give you heart rate tracking and burn calories and again other real-time fitness tracking straight to your Android TV or Google TV at best. And what that means is, with an API and all, if you use a fitness app or you use a workout app on your Android TV and you've linked it again through Google account to your Fitbit or Wear OS device, you can again get that real-time data from a smartwatch onto your TV, and you can see your heart rate in real time. Now, if you're probably sensing something familiar, or you're feeling some deja vu probably, you'll know that Apple offers this integration with the Apple Watch and Apple Fitness Plus on the Apple TV. If you have an Apple TV and you use Apple Fitness Plus and have an Apple Watch, your Apple Watch tracking data pops up on the TV when you're using Apple Fitness Plus and doing a workout using that service. But the thing really with Apple TV is that it only works with Fitness Plus. Google's solution, apparently according to protocol we've reported on this, is going to be kind of open, so third-party apps can access it, including, you know, the likes of Peloton and many other God knows how many live workout services exist. So that's pretty cool in a way. Apple obviously has been doing it with Fitness Plus and the Apple TV and the watch, of course, but Google's looking to be a bit more open in a way, so you actually can now do video workouts. But then again, on top of that, you can pip in data from your smartwatch so you can see how fast your heartbeat's running. That's pretty cool in a way, and apparently they're going to roll it out next year. So again, that's according to the sources at Protocol, so that's pretty interesting in a way. Also, their plan is by 2024 to offer more integration with smart home gear on Android TV, so you could see your security cameras, you can control your lights, air conditioning, And I think that this would be building on the functionality that already has been there with Google Assistant. You can have Google Assistant skills, you can connect your smart home gear through with Google Assistant, and I think they're going to add that to Android TV. That's how I look at it. This functionality, the ability to see your security cameras and control your smart home, has kind of already been on Apple TV and Amazon Fire TV platforms. Apple and Amazon have had it in a way through their own sort of smart home ecosystems. And now Google's bringing in a more gargantuous effort here with this integration, and it's going to be available by 2024. So we'll see. That looks interesting. Another one, a third one, is apparently they're looking to turn Nest speakers into wireless speakers. This again, very similar to what Apple is doing with Apple TV and the HomePods, where you can connect your HomePods to your Apple TV because they share data through a single Apple ID. And Google's obviously looking to do this also with their Nest speakers at the moment. It would make it an additional selling point because, from the looks of it, seems like Google can't really sell enough Nest speakers, and they're not any more useful than just being a nice smart speaker for Google Assistant, in a way. But also that eventually they're going to bring the support to third-party speakers, which again I'm probably hint this probably is hinting on the fact that they're building on the Google Assistant integration, and they're going to add in this ability to connect your Android TV, connect wireless speakers they already have. They're not really connected to the TV directly through to an auxiliary jack or anything wirelessly. That'll be pretty neat, of course, and it'll be coming in handy for those who have Android TV boxes and again full-on sets. So that's pretty cool in a way. On top of that, they're also actively working, I guess this is according to protocol, they're actively working on bringing FastPair over to Google TV devices with you if people have their own Pixel Buds, and if they're linked the same Google I account, they can pair it onto the Google TV devices in real time. So that's pretty neat, and again they're adding more features, and that's nice to see in a way. But here's the downside now. This is the real big downside, and that means that there are probably going to be not many devices out there that'll support a new version of Android TV or Google TV to be able to do all these features, apparently. Obviously, the deeper smart home integration, the fit again, your the fitness tracking, the deeper fitness tracking, the wireless speaker support, it probably would have to come with a new software update logically, and that probably means that devices would need to be more capable than ever. We have smart TVs that come with 4 gigs of storage to download a few apps, probably to run Netflix and YouTube, and that's pretty much it. And as I said, again, usually are quite bare bones in terms of hardware power because they're again not that powerful, and they don't really need much power to run, so that's interesting. But again, also according to protocol, now that Google is requiring that for TV makers and again for hardware partners to have to support Bluetooth 5.0, offer 16 gigabytes or more of storage. That's interesting because, for example, the current Chromecast that's available that comes with Google TV only has 8 gigabytes of memory, so I don't know how Android 13 will work on it. I'm probably assuming they'll probably either by that point, by next year, they'll probably have a new Chromecast in the wings. Who knows? So that's pretty cool in a way. And there are quite a lot of features that they've yet to bring out. But basically, they're looking to bring in fitness tracking. They're planning to bring in support for wireless speakers. You can connect it to your smart TV, so you could again blast off audio from your internal speakers straight down to wireless speakers, and that's pretty nice to have. And also, kind of adding another cool use case for those Nest speakers because they're again Google Nest Max, the Nest sort of the Nest Hub, I would say. Their speakers, they're not really selling like hotcakes, and there's not any more useful features other than Google Assistant being there, so that's pretty interesting in a way. And yeah, I mean, it's really cool that they're looking to bring these features. I really hope they deliver on this and they actually do offer it within the next year or two. It'll probably increase the appeal of something like Android TV over, say, Apple or Fire TV, because those other ecosystems are more appealing to consumers potentially for their, again, for the more pragmatic feature sets. But I think the only selling point of Android TV is that the side loading and again the wide selection of supported apps in a way, and again Google services. You can't beat having Google services on the big screen. There only are a few devices out there that can run everything from Google in one place. So, again, good to see that Google is working on improving Android TV. That's a pretty good development, regardless. Alrighty, this actually now leads us to the end of today's episode, or this week's episode in general. What do you think of everything you've heard today? The new Samsung foldables, the fact that OnePlus and Oppo can't sell their phones in Germany anymore because of a patent infringement, and USB-C charging cases for the AirPod, which I honestly think won't really happen if you're on even the next year, if you ask me. What do you think? Let me know. I'm on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at @Sayit_Mao99. Follow me there. Drop a DM. Say hi if you can. And yeah, share this podcast to your friends and family. Definitely a way to boost the show because we need more people to listen. And I'll probably make the whole hamster wheel of podcasting work, in my opinion. And subscribe if you're already listening, and so you don't miss another episode. And again, a good way to support the show, obviously, if you can. Subscribe if you're wherever you're listening right now. And yeah, till next week, this is Ibomano signing out. Where we are, whatever you're up to, I hope you have a wonderful day. And again, thank you for listening. And I'll hopefully see you next week in another episode of Mao's Gadget Talk. All right, take care of yourselves. And again, thank you for listening. All right, ciao.